from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We will recap day 3 of training camp for you.
We have a long way to go, and that's why training camp is here. That's why we practice. So they're doing a good job. We got a long way to go.
Just trying to make sure we get that chemistry, you know what I'm saying? Build off the spring, and yeah, just keep going.
I'm grateful to be a fan favorite, and you know, I'm just hoping to come out there and put on a show for them and execute, you know, do my job on the field.
Mike Danger.
Hard to make a declarative statement other than what you see with your own eyes, and what you're seeing with your own eyes here is still practice. It's not necessarily going to translate to what we see when they actually put on the pads and when they actually do get into some meaningful games.
Gene Battaglia.
I think if you're a Bills fan, this is exactly what you want. Okay, we're going to talk about this wide receiver battle. We're going to talk about the safety battle. You don't want any injuries. You don't want any drama. You just want a lot of work here.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. We are live. St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp, day 3. We can't do it without the help of our sponsors, Ace Swim and Leisure, Chilai Avenue, Ridge Road, and Webster, aceswim.com, Maddie's Motorsports locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com, and all guests during training camp, stop by and join us on the Ace Swim and Leisure hot seat, including Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com, who will be stopping by the sports bar here in about 20, 25 minutes or so.
$54 million per year now, guaranteed for Tua Tagovailoa. Let's compare that to Josh Allen and $43 million per year guaranteed. Josh Allen is not in the top 10. In fact, when Dak Prescott or Jordan Love get their deals done, you're getting a bargain right now in Josh Allen. That's your lead story in the NFL today outside here at Buffalo, that the Dolphins give the money to Tagovailoa. Now, I say all this. Did the Dolphins really have a choice here? No, I don't think they did.
I don't think they did, and this ties them to Tua for 3 more years minimum, from what I understand. And by the way, I mean, with the cap going up the way it goes up, and with new money this and guaranteed that, and my nose starts to bleed when I try to figure out who's making what and who's a value and who isn't a value, who overpaid and who did. Essentially, this is just the cost of having a quarterback that you consider to be a franchise quarterback. Now, if you're a Dolphin fan, you may still have your questions about Tua, and I know many Bills fans have their questions about Tua, but you're right. The Dolphins, what's their plan B here? They don't have one. So you lock them up, and it's a 4-year deal, which I believe, if I saw it correctly, kind of ties them together for at least the next 3 years. And well, you know, because I hope that the player can stay healthy, 3 years feels like a good thing for everybody else in the AFC East. Like, another 3 years where we can see, will Tua take that next step? Physically, I just don't think he has what it takes to be able to take that next step. I don't think he has a strong arm. I don't think he has a strong enough arm to be a guy that can lead a team deep into a playoff run.
You could do it if you get home field and make sure that, it, like at the end of the year, I thought, not just Tua, I thought the Dolphins just kind of wore down. And we forget that the Bills needed Week 18 last year to win the division. Miami was the team, but it was that loss to Tennessee on a Monday night. Like, yeah, you're at home, like, this team isn't it.
When they lost that game, I'm like, the Bills are winning the division. Even though the Bills did not have a great season last year, regular season, certainly filled with ups and downs. When the Dolphins couldn't beat Tennessee. And by the way, the Bills, I mean, for what it's worth, with Sean McDermott as their head coach, they don't lose big. There haven't been a lot of big losses in the Josh Allen era, I should say. They're in every game. It feels like they're in almost every game. So
it's the beauty and the frustration of your Bills fan. Like, every game we have blame assessment Monday when it doesn't go right. It's like, I mean, let's see. Look, it's a great point. Like, when was the last time we came back and I'm like, oh, the Bills weren't really in that game? What? You got to go back to year two of Josh Allen.
I just the New England game.
I think of
the Baltimore week one. You know, Josh Allen's rookie year. I mean, like, that was a team that wasn't ready for prime time, and they've come a long way since then. So, so the Dolphins get theirs, and I bring it up because the Dolphins feel like one of those teams that will absolutely just not show up one week. They'll have weeks where they look like they could win the Super Bowl, and then they'll have weeks where they look like the worst team in the division. It's got to be even more maddening if you're a Dolphin fan.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, they scored 70 on Denver. What are they going to do? And then you lose the next week at Buffalo.
Yeah, keep an eye on what's going on in Pittsburgh there, too. Kind of interesting that Russell Wilson has a little bit of a calf injury that has him labeled as day-to-day, and Justin Fields getting opportunity with the first team and trying to make the most of that opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is anything. I'm guessing it's nothing, but the Ravens putting out a statement that Lamar Jackson is got an illness of some sort. Yeah,
he tried to come back, didn't look good. He's sick. So give him the time that he needs to get better, and hopefully we see him healthy and on the field in short order. And as far as the Jordan Love unresolved situation with him in Green Bay, I think it's worth noting that Jordan Love and Tua are both repped by the same agency. So where one domino has fallen, I would expect another one would follow fairly quickly, knowing that they're kind of not working in cahoots, but they kind of know what's happening.
Yeah, and if you came here to the sports bar for us to explain what's going to happen next in Dallas,
good luck.
Is not the show that's going to explain to you what's going to happen in Dallas.
Good luck. We've given up trying to figure out what Jerry Jones is going to do next. So there you go. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. He's going to stop by the sports bar here in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Hey, special treat for everybody who might be watching us on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, or on our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. I'm going to do something that's going to make Gene Battaglia's head explode. Right there. See that? See what I just did? Satisfying. You know that crunch? Remember when you were a kid and you had the aluminum can and you just wanted to smash it down?
I remember,
flatten that thing?
I'm old enough to remember Silver Stadium where they would take the paper cup and you make this big pop noise when you're stomping down
there. Yeah. Satisfying, Gino. Satisfying move. And for the life of me, I mean, we've been together doing this show now for over 8 years. We've done not eight training camps because there was the COVID year.
Yeah, well, see, your first one was, I did it with Duffy in 16. So 17, 18, 19. Okay, we take off a couple, 22, 23. This would be camp number six for you and I together.
We're here together. I spend more time with you than I spend with my own family. I had no idea that this was something that bothered you as much as it did. I suppose you spend enough time with somebody, there are little irks and pet peeves that you might have, little things that I do or the executive producer does that you're just like, you know. I didn't know that me crushing my water bottle after finishing it was one of those things.
It's wasteful.
I hate waste, too. That's the irony. I really hate
waste. I mean, look,
if there was water in this water bottle and I saw somebody dump out the water, I'd get pissed. I'm like, what are you doing? You're wasting water that was in that water bottle.
No, but the point here being, and again, I love all the people watching everywhere here or listening everywhere. And if you're in New York State, you know this. If you're like our guy Chris in Kentucky, he knows this because he's got roots in the area, but they don't have a 5-cent deposit in Kentucky.
Oh, so this is normal behavior in Kentucky.
Right. So like any other state, but You do that 20 times, you're wasting a dollar.
I know.
Do you not know the value of a dollar, Mike Danger? And your wife!
Your wife
of all people!
I know.
How she values the dollar!
Oh my God,
Doesn't that drive her nuts?
Oh my
when you
God.
Do that?
I almost.
She's never mentioned anything. You don't do that in front of her.
Let's keep this between us, okay? I mean, there's lines that don't. We can't cross certain lines. I have a feeling that my wife would react less poorly, less strongly to me having an extramarital affair than she would to me wasting a nickel on crushing a water bottle. So let's just keep it between us here in the sports bar, okay?
That's quite a statement. And I'll just say this. I would never violate the guy code.
Okay.
That would be a violation of the guy code if I went to Sandy and said, hey, you know what your husband does? He crushes cans instead of returning them.
She knows, by the way. Like, in fact, we were on a family vacation one time, and I saw her dad, my father-in-law, take a water bottle and just collapse it. And I'm like, huh. I didn't know that you could do that with water bottles. I never tried. I never did it. And then I did it once, and I'm like, oh, I like that. That's kind of satisfying. And now it's just a habit. Now if I finish a water bottle, I just crush it down instead of recycle it.
No. What you've done in camp now is this, and you're making me look like a bag lady. Where, like, every time you get a bottle of water, you put it in front of me like, hey, I'm not recycling this. Do you want me to throw this out and crush it? So in my computer laptop bag, I have a collection of 5 cents.
What we need to do is we need to get the old school plastic bags that we used to get at the grocery store and just fill up those plastic bags with our empties so that we can, you know, recycle and use that $1.50 off on our next major purchase, our next grocery store run. Is that what we should be doing here, Gino?
I think so. I think maybe if Ryan Talbot's listening, rather like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I can make it over there to see.
I wonder where Talbot's at. I bet you Talbot's a crusher. I bet you Talbot crushes.
Are you kidding me? Talbot, he's a teacher. That's not...
I bet you he crushes. I bet you he finishes his bottle, he crushes it down. Throw a can, soda, boom, crush, done. I was having a conversation with Tasker earlier today. He was laughing because they've got the little mini cans of soda in the cooler over there.
Oh, I've seen that. Like, what's the purpose of the mini can?
Well, I think the purpose of the mini can is you're supposed to drink less soda, right? Less soda is probably better for us.
Okay, I see that, but wouldn't you like reach for two or three then?
Well, that was what he was doing. He's like, I could probably go through like six of these without even thinking. And what I like about the little can, if there's one thing to like about the little can, when you hold it in your hand, you know that old picture of Andre the Giant holding a beer can, and the beer can looked minuscule in his giant maw? I just thought to myself, his just massive paw that he has there, and he's got this Miller Lite can. That's what I feel like when I'm holding one of those. Again, another satisfying move. The small soda can is not for everyone, but I kind of like it because it's less soda to drink, and it makes your hand look bigger. I feel like Andre the Giant when I'm carrying around one of those.
I'm very proud to say I have not gone the soda route. Just the water, and I'm not crushing the water bottles like you.
Gatorade, too. I mean,
I did some
Gatorade. Can't crush the Gatorade bottles, Gino. Can't crush or recycle the Gatorade bottles.
Now, why don't we recycle the Gatorade bottles like we do for... Is the Gatorade lobbying
I can't answer that question, Gino. I really do not know. I don't know. That remains a mystery. Go ahead, try and recycle a Gatorade bottle. Let me know how that works out for you. It ain't happening.
I think I am going to go to one of those return places, and I'm going to come back in one day, and I'm just going to show the money that
just,
I saved.
Just slap it down on the counter, and I'll be like, what's that $1.25? You're like, that's my water consumption for a week. I'll be impressed with your $1.25. And then I will crush another water bottle.
Your wife has never said anything to you about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's the also, you know, it's also pet peeve because it's that noise.
I love the noise.
Oh, no.
Satisfying noise. Yeah, I'm a big fan. We got to get to Keon Coleman, who has become very quickly one of the most, if not the most popular new face here at Bills training camp. Of course, everybody cheering for Josh and screaming for Josh during practice, after practice. But Keon is right there. And I think he recognizes that he's very quickly become this kind of cult-like figure with Bills Mafia. So we wanted to hear from Keon Coleman after practice today, his time with the media, in case you missed it. This was Keon Coleman after practice this morning on the Fan Rochester.
It's been fun the past 5 days. 5 days, right? Something like that. Yeah, just, you know, getting back into that rhythm, playing, hearing the calls in the huddle, and going out there and executing and having fun with the guys. So it's been great.
What's been your favorite part?
catching touchdowns. Simple.
What's been your reaction to the fan reception that you receive? Is it every day going up for you?
I mean, I'm grateful, you know. I'm grateful to be a fan favorite, and, you know, I'm just hoping to come out there and put on a show for them and execute and, you know, do my job on the field.
Keon, yesterday Joe Brady talked about how you guys have natural positions. You're not an X, you're not a Y. It's two-man concepts. It's three-man concepts. Is that a little different for you? Are you used to that? Are you used to having just, say, I play the X, or is this something, you know, how have you kind of learned these the offensive concepts compared to what you've known in the past?
Nah, I'm used to playing everything. There's no such thing as an X or Y or Z. You got to get open. You call the receiver, not a whatever receiver. You just got to be able to get open. And it's hard to learn the playbook just trying to learn one position, because you can easily be on the other side of the field, in the slot, outside, inside. You could be motioning to it, different things like that. So I learned the playbook conceptually. So I learned concept by concept and learned every single spot. So I can be anywhere.
When did you start approaching a playbook that way? Was it in college, high school? Have you always been that way?
Yeah, college, really. Once I got to college. High school playbooks are, you know, high school, yeah, it was like, it wasn't even the X, Y, Z. You was on the left, you was on the left, you was on the right, you was on the right. But getting to college, learning playbooks, learning concepts, all that stuff came at once. And, you know, my coach broke it down to me and helped me learn it the most efficient way I could.
Yeah, during OTAs, you kind of told us how you learn a playbook, copying things down, looking at it, writing it over again. Where do you feel like you're at right now that you've been through OTAs and you've had a short 5-week period of a break where you can still consume that playbook?
I'm pretty confident. When I'm in a huddle, hearing the calls, I can execute my job and do what I need to do.
What's the chemistry feeling like with Josh right now?
I feel great. You know, we're in a good spot. To say we 5 days in the training camp, so looking for that to keep on elevating.
I know you guys had a lot in the spring. You and Josh getting to know each other. You got together during the break. But what have you learned about him in these couple months since you've been drafted and now that he's your quarterback?
He's probably more goofy than me, honestly, bro. He's like a big kid, loves to have fun. And, you know, when it's time to get on the field, we're going to work.
How does he flip the switch when you're out there?
Man, it's just natural, bro. Like, you got a job to do when you put your helmet, when you walk in the locker room, not even when you put your helmet on. When you walk in the locker room, it's a job to do today. So, you know, it's times to be fun. You got to stay loose within, you know, playing so that, you know, having as much fun as you can while playing the game, you get the love. So, I mean, it's easy.
When you mentioned him being goofy, how have you seen that at camp? Like, he tells us a lot about how much fun he has here in the dorms and everything. Like, has he done anything particularly funny?
Nah, not particularly. Like, I love it here too. It's like, I didn't get to spend much time at dorms in college, but it's like everybody's in one space. So you go to the lobby of your floor, you get to see the guys, hang out with them, play the game, do funny stuff, just, you know, be yourselves.
What's been your favorite game?
I don't even really play the game. I just be watching.
Okay.
I have my own game going on. I be talking trash to everybody while they playing. Huh? I ain't going to nobody's rooms. I mean, that's why we had a lobby area. I ain't trying to go in your room. That's your private area.
Yeah, what's been your reaction to a training camp with fans and signing autographs you just did?
It's been great. You know, it's an all-in-one, you know, atmosphere. It's like in the middle of a game, you can go, you know, sign autographs or whatever. But, you know, that's not the case. But you get to have fun, and then after that, embrace the fans and the love.
Yeah, there's guys like Bo, who've been in this office now for a couple of years, and there's other guys like Matt Collins. Just what have you been able to learn from some of the
So understanding, you know, defense is more what they're trying to do schematically, how to get open, different release tips here and there, like just pretty much all the things that they would know being in the league for so long. So every day just learning something new, trying to get 1% better and try that here and there, try to implement how they're great at things into my game. I mean, I think we like this, you feel me? If you ask me, that's my guy.
You opened up 7-on-7 with a nice touchdown, down kind of like around the numbers area. Can you kind of remember that play, walk us through it, and kind of what you were trying to get accomplished on that route?
Really, so I had a slot fade and pretty much just do my job, get to the bottom of the numbers, and just what happened, Rasul was midpoint and got into his blind spot, and he didn't know where I was, so it was just wide open.
What's it been like going up against Rasul?
I love it. You know, we get to conversate after each rep, understand why you won the rep, why you lost the rep, how to get better at it, just different things like that.
How comfortable are you moving around like the chess piece? And, you know, what is your experience with playing with more seasoned corners, such as Benford and Hughes?
I'm going to answer the first question. Moving around like a chess piece, I mean, I love it. Shows that you can have some versatility and that you actually know what you're doing out there, and you can build more trust between you, your OC, and your quarterback. And then going against them guys, you just get better every day. You know, every rep, like I said, you conversate about the rep and understand why you won or why you lost it. And you come back the next play and compete like that.
All right, and they say rookies still have their head spinning this time, you know, early in their first season. You've gotten to the point of the year now where it's everyday football, and I work the full-time part. Does it still feel like it's fast, or that you're still trying to kind of figure things out a little bit?
Nah.
Why do you say that?
I've been studying, simple as that. I kind of know what's going on. I pretty much know what's going on. So I'm confident that I'm going to know what's going on when I hear the calls, get the calls, and I'm going to line up and do my job.
Thank you.
There's Bills rookie wide receiver, Keon Coleman.
That's awesome. Like, I'm not going to give you the answer you expect.
Yeah.
I'm confident. Yeah.
You want your wide receiver to be calm. I mean, how much of this game and playing this game stems from just being confident? You have to have that swagger. You have to have that confidence when you're out there on the field. Otherwise, you die. So I think Keon Coleman having that confidence as a rookie and you know, having no shame in saying, yeah, I've been studying. I know what's going on. We're going to be fine. I love hearing that, and again, Keon Coleman's legend continues to kind of grow with each passing day here at training camp.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Second most popular Bill this camp amongst the fan base.
So far. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Ryan Talbot is here on set. Ryan, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Looking forward to talking Bills.
Yeah, we got Ryan's observations from practice today. He's going to stop by here, and we'll get into a deeper dive as to what we saw on the field today and talk more Bills with Ryan Talbot next on The Fan Rochester, live from St. John Fisher University in Buffalo Bills training camp.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do.
Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Kim Pegula practiced today, the Bills co-owner breaking the huddle at the end of the morning workout. One of the newcomers here at Fisher is wide receiver Curtis Samuel.
It was fun. You know, I mean, anytime I get the ball in my hands, I'm excited. You know, that's why I don't limit myself, you know, just playing outside, you know, whatever the case may be, inside, outside, you know, in the backfield. I don't limit myself.
Samuel getting a few reps today at the running back position. We'll talk to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, coming up next year in the Sports Bar. The Miami Dolphins have extended the contract of Tua Tagovailoa, 4 years, $212.4 million. Yankees and Red Sox tonight at Fenway. Boston acquiring pitcher James Paxton from the Dodgers. Rochester Red Wings home tonight taking on Lehigh Valley. We're live from Bill's camp at St. John Fisher University. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader. The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
We continue live from St. John Fisher University. It's a Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Buffalo Bills training camp means we get to see our buddy Ryan Talbot in person here on the set with us here at the Pelicano Pavilion. Matt, Matt, Ryan, we can talk to Matt on Matt, we got Perino bombed the first hour of our show. I don't know if you knew this or not.
I did not.
The entire Perino clan came walking by. I wave hello to the entire Perino family, and a loud shout comes out from, and appropriately, a shout comes out from the Perino clan. We love Danger and Battaglia. We got Perino bump. Completely distracted Gino and I.
We
lost all of our professionalism and credibility in that moment.
I was watching Matt, though, throw on the grass field. He's got a nice arm.
You know, he said he underthrew one in the end zone to his son, but I think he probably undersells himself. Yeah, it was great to see the whole Perino clan here today, and always a great time coming up here, speaking with you guys. I've always said my favorite radio show to come on, and I truly mean that.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate that, and you've always given us so much time through the course of the years, and the years that we've been doing this here at St. John Fisher as well. Before we talk Bills, just want to get your reaction on what Miami did this afternoon.
You know, I guess the going rate's the going rate these days with these quarterback contracts, but you look at it, and I saw a great tweet from Adam Schefter. In Dan Marino's entire career, he made $52 million. Tua will make more than that on average every single season at 53.1. So, and again, quarterback pay was one thing many years ago. This is the right. Josh Allen's not even in the top 10 anymore for that average, you know, per year. You have Mahomes now at number 10, tied with Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of decent quarterbacks, young quarterbacks that I think teams are hoping will ascend to that superstar status, but it just shows you how grossly underpaid a guy like Josh Allen is compared to some of these deals.
Yeah, if you did the rankings right now and you tweeted out the graphic, he would be 12th. And you're not even considering, all right, well, next on deck is Jordan Love, and next on deck is Dak Prescott. Who knows where their stories go? But my question is about Allen. Is this a storyline in next year? Is it in the near future? You think this is going to be something that the Bills will sit down and want to do right to their quarterback?
Eventually, I'm sure the team will. I don't see Josh Allen, though, pushing the matter necessarily. You look at what he does every year, year in, year out. He works to lower that number for cap purposes. He's due something, I believe, a cap hit of about $60 million next year. So he'll rework that. He'll do what's best for this team. I believe him when he says his goal is to help this team win a Super Bowl. So while he's not in the top 10, $40-plus million is still a lot of money on a yearly basis, and I'm sure when it's right, the team will reward him for what he's done for this
team. And imagine what that looks like if he has the kind of season we all hope he could have, and he's come close to fulfilling that destiny here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know when the NFL will do it or if they'll ever do it, but I would like to see them maybe move to something where quarterbacks get paid, you know, whatever these astronomical amounts are, but then you have a separate salary cap for the other 52 players that you can work with and manage, because you do see how your teams get handcuffed once you give out a big contract like that. And maybe it's not just exclusive to the quarterback position, because a Justin Jefferson makes big money, and there's going to be defensive players that are going to break the bank like a Micah Parsons in due time. Maybe you can designate a player kind of into that space where it doesn't count against the cap, and then you have the rest to allocate elsewhere.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us. You were here for the Bobby Babich press conference. You watched practice. I guess practice, your general takeaways there from the third practice here at Fisher.
Yeah, third practice here at Fisher. I was keeping a close eye on Matt Milano today. I like what Bobby Babich said. Eventually, Matt Milano will be Matt Milano. You still see him kind of working with the coming back from that injury. I saw him between reps on the side field, kind of jumping up, testing out the leg. I think there's a mental and a physical aspect to that players go through. Babich did a great job shedding some light on the safety competition this morning. You saw Cole Bishop get his turn in the rotation with the starters. He said Bishop has a long way to go in terms of learning the playbook. It's not an easy playbook to learn for a young defensive player, especially at a key position like safety, where the Bills have been spoiled the last few years with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. They haven't had to worry about that. So now you have a rookie in the mix. You have Mike Edwards, who he talked glowingly about as just being a football player. There's a lot of fun in terms of watching those few competitions that the Bills have. And then, you know, 7-on-7, you saw the offense pick up where they've been the last few days. And on the end of the practice, you finally saw Josh Allen throw some interceptions. I know there were three of them. I think only two of them would have counted in a real game. There was one blatant penalty against Christian Benford on one of them.
Yeah. Let's stay on the defensive side of the ball and that defensive secondary, because the name that we kind of don't talk about, he's just slid into that role, is Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp is essentially the guy that is going to be with, like, we're not hearing about Taylor Rapp getting reps with the second team. He's been out there. He's been the constant with the first team. So how has he progressed from last year, his first year here, and some time that he spent where you're like, oh boy, I don't know about this guy. I mean, like, some questionable plays,
yeah,
and certainly some timely penalties last year. Do you think Rapp's game has evolved to a point where, I mean, must be evolving to a point where Sean McDermott trusts that Taylor Rapp can be that back-end quarterback of the defense?
Yeah, he's the perfect example of how long it probably takes someone to get comfortable with this defense, because you're right. Last year, when he was getting reps early on in the season, he was making mistakes, he was out of place, penalties. He's a very physical player, and sometimes that leads to penalties. As the year went on, and it was a secondary role for the most part, you saw him get more comfortable in the scheme. And while Pro Football Focus grades are not the be-all, end-all, it's no coincidence that three of his highest four grades came in the last 3 weeks of the regular season, when he was able to digest that playbook, knew his responsibilities, knew his role, came up with a huge interception in Week 18 to seal the division for the Bills. So when the Bills made it a priority to re-sign him in the offseason, that kind of told you a lot in terms of what they viewed about him as a player in this scheme, in this system. And while it's been an interchangeable role at that safety position, it does look like Rapp's going to hold down the fort on one of them this season.
Ryan, I want to ask you about and go into depth about a player you and Matt were talking about today on the pod, that being Greg Rousseau. Greg Rousseau, a player, a first-rounder, you're hoping for more. It's not like he's been bad, but can he take that next step? What were your observations of Rousseau today?
Yeah, speed and power. You saw it on display today. I saw him in an individual rep against Spencer Brown late in practice, and he used his speed and power to get around Brown pretty easily. And Brown was a great player last year. Brown's looked good at camp so far. It's the flashes. Matt noted that earlier in the practice he had a rep against Deion Dawkins, that he got around Dawkins. And when you look at the way that Dawkins has played the last few years, pretty much at an all-pro level, that's no small feat. So Greg Rousseau, the Bills are hoping he takes an Ed Oliver-like leap this year. He's had some bad luck with injuries that, to his credit, he's played through, foot, ankle-type deals. This is the year, though, that he needs to kind of put it together so he can get a monster extension in Buffalo, stay here long-term. Still a young kid, though. People forget when they drafted him, he was one of the youngest players in that draft class. I believe 23 right now, turns 24 this year. So still a lot in terms of what he can grow into. We've seen him become a really solid run defender, but now you want to see him, in terms of the pass rush game, take it to the next level.
What about Vaughn? How does he look to you so far?
Vaughn looks like a much more confident player than where he was last year. And I think when you have a brace on, when you're coming back from a serious injury like that, there's the actual physical play, there's the psychological part of it. He said he put on a brave face last year, saying he wanted to play from week one on. He was put on the pup. He never looked like the Von Miller that the Bills saw in those first 8 weeks of his first year, though, where he was getting almost a sack per game. This spring, And this summer, without the brace on, I do see some more of that bend, that speed around the edge. So, you know, I don't think we'll necessarily ever see double-digit Von Miller sack seasons again, necessarily. But if he can be a 6-8 sack player for this team, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, the depth on the defensive line, that is the one thing, Ryan, I don't know about. I want to learn more about, because we know the names. You have Dwayne Carter, who everybody is, you know, the third-round pick. Smoot getting a few reps with the first team, playing in Jacksonville last year. You have other players. Austin Johnson, we talked to Daquan Jones, how he got recruited over, basically, from the Chargers. Is that a tough position when you're doing the 53-man mock, in your opinion? Or do you kind of have an idea who's going to be the first and second string right now?
No, I think edge and defensive tackle are both tough spots to evaluate, because you know the first three at edge, Vaughn, Russo, Epinesa. But then at four, you know, now I would say it's probably Smoot in the driver's seat. And to his credit, he's made some plays for the Bills. He had a nice move today, getting by Osiris Torrance. Smoot came over from Jacksonville. He had an Achilles injury late in 2022, late December. So he didn't play well last season, one sack in Jacksonville. He looks like he's a year removed from an injury like that. And Bobby Babich raved about him this morning. Old school edge to his game. He loves the way that he plays. Can't wait to see him when his pads come on. And when you're already putting him in with the first team, that tells you they have a lot of confidence in this guy. After that, though, it's a crapshoot. Javon Solomon, a rookie, comes in from Troy. A lot of stats, a lot of sacks there, but hasn't necessarily had much success yet at training camp. You have Kingsley Jonathan trying to make a mark. They signed Casey Tuhill as a free agent. A lot of guys maybe fighting for one spot there behind Smoot. And then defensive tackle, you know, they could only carry four of them, the four that you've already mentioned.
You know, we talk about multiple guys fighting for one spot on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's the position that most eyes are watching, and that's wide receiver. And you know what? Over the course of the spring, we heard a lot about Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins is vocal. Mac Hollins is showing up in off-season program. I don't want to believe it until I saw it with my own eyes. Mac Hollins is real. Feels like Mac Hollins is on this team, which would leave you, if you consider MVS as a lock, one real spot if they keep six. And plenty of guys going for that one spot. Do you get the sense that there's somebody who has an inside track? I have my answer. I want to hear yours.
Yeah, my answer would be Chase Claypool right now. And it's based on his actual production on an NFL team in his career. And, you know, I know it's been a few years removed from that. But his first 2 years in Pittsburgh, he put up quality stats. And then he played a year with Ben Roethlisberger where Roethlisberger's arm wasn't right and his stats, you know, drop significantly. He goes to the Bears in a trade. The quarterback play there was a mess in Miami. He was acquired in October. So it's been a rough few spots for him and stops for him. But now in Buffalo, he has a great quarterback in Josh Allen. I look at it as the Bills say, if we lose one of our top three to an injury, yeah, you have Mac Hollins, you have MVS, you want someone that's actually produced at the NFL level to be able to come in and play and know their responsibility, their role. Claypool staying and doing all the right things. I think they would love a Justin Shorter to step up, a Tyrell Shavers, a KJ Hamler, but until they do, you got to go with the guy that's produced.
I'm going to say KJ Hamler, and hear me out, because I think when you watch these wide receivers, you have two very specific types on this roster right now. The size guys, like a Claypool, like a Justin Shorter, like a Keon Coleman, and certainly a Mac Hollins. And then you have the smaller possession guys, the separation guys, the speed guys, your Khalil Shakirs, your certainly your Curtis Samuels, your KJ Hamlers. I'm wondering if they want to split that evenly. Like, do you want three and three, like three size guys and three? Because if you only want three size guys, then I'd see Claypool is the guy that's probably ending up on the practice squad. Plus, with KJ, you've got the versatility of special teams. He could be your returner as well. We know how much they love. Maybe I'm biased because we talked to him yesterday, and it's hard not to root for the guy, given everything he's been through.
See, what I have, if I'm doing it how they structured it last year, KJ Hamler is an upgrade over Andy Isabella. And Isabella is still here, by the way, right, but they kept him around and the practice squad being something. But your thoughts on Danger's point there, because I think it's a valid one that there's two different groups here at wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's funny is going into the draft, going into free agency, we heard Brandon Bean talk about getting Josh Allen a receiver with speed. And then they went the entire opposite direction with Keon Coleman and some of these other guys that they brought in. Hamler has that speed. He was a 4.27 40-yard dash guy at Penn State going into the league. He has just had some of the worst luck with injuries. And maybe this is where he comes to Buffalo. They have a great training staff. They have a state-of-the-art, you name it, in terms of recovery. Maybe he can stay healthy here. And if that's the case, he can make this roster because of his speed for the wide receiver game. And then, as you mentioned, special teams. New kickoff rule this year. They might value that speed. Get the ball in his hands. He can take off as soon as he catches it. And then those guys are just starting to move. So he could use that speed to work to his advantage. Punt returner as well. So the Bills value special teams play. When it comes to that last wide receiver spot, that might be what the final determination.
Ryan, I know it's early in camp. We haven't seen anybody play with pads on. But this is a different offensive line. A lot of the same faces, but different. Do you have any observations of what you've seen out of the offensive line up to this point?
Yeah, I've been encouraged with the play of David Edwards. Edwards is the one guy that's kind of coming in from where he was that jumbo tight end. He'd come in as the extra lineman on plays last year. He's looked the part so far, though, at left guard. He had a great one-on-one rep today against Ed Oliver where he held his own. I've liked the way that he's played, and I think having multiple years of experience under Aaron Cromer benefits him from his time at the Rams. He was another guy that the Bills were able to add last season for pennies on the dollar because injuries. So he comes in. McGovern doesn't have necessarily the athleticism of a Mitch Morse, but he has more size, more physicality, longer wingspan. I think that's going to benefit the Bills. And on the right side of the line, you love everything that Osiris Torrence did as a rookie, was never mentioned, which is what you want as an offensive lineman. Yeah. I think he'll grow in year two. And then obviously Spencer Brown playing for a contract. And oh, by the way, you have an all-pro at left tackle. So I love the starting unit. I think there's a lot of quality depth there as well. You talk Alec Anderson, who came on last season. He is kind of the new Ryan Bates. He can play all five spots on the line, especially the interior, outside in a pinch. You have Van DeMark, who I thought thrived at left tackle last year, showed some struggles at right tackle. If he can be that versatile piece at both spots, he'll be their swing tackle this year. And then you have guys like Lyle Collins, who have played over 100 NFL games.
Yeah.
Richard Garage, who UDFA last year, but he flashed a little bit. And I could see him pushing a little bit for a roster spot this year as well.
Ryan, if we could go back to the wide receivers just for a second, because I have everybody kind of penciled in my mind. And I'm going to include Dalton Kincaid there too. But the one guy that I'm having difficulty seeing, where would the level of production be, would be the guy that spoke at the podium today, Curtis Samuel. The idea that they used him in the backfield a little bit, the idea that, oh, maybe they use him in end of rounds. Is this a guy that just strictly is going to be a gadget third down or just go long type of guy? Or could he actually be the guy in terms of wide receivers that actually leads this team in categories? I can't pin it down right now. What's your opinion on Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, I'm really high on Curtis Samuel. I've been high on him from the time he's come into this league because he can do everything, and he can be a gadget guy for this Bills team. Absolutely. So he will get some carries out of the backfield. He'll do some end around, some gadget plays. But I also think you can line him up in the backfield and then have him go out for a pass and have be an absolute mismatch from coming out of the backfield. He can play inside. He can play outside. He has never played with a great quarterback. His best season came under Joe Brady, though, in 2020, where Teddy Bridgewater was throwing him the ball over 800 yards receiving, over 200 yards rushing. Now you give him a Josh Allen. He has this wealth of knowledge. He still has that breakaway speed. I expect big things for Curtis Samuel this year as a receiver. I don't necessarily see him leading in any of those categories because I have Dalton Kincaid having a monster year, receptions, receiving yards, etc. But of the three receivers, he and Khalil Shakir, I think, are going to be right at the top of that list.
What are your overall impressions of the new coordinators? I mean, we heard from Babich today. We heard from Joe Brady yesterday. It certainly seems like they have two different kind of demeanors, one maybe a little bit more soft-spoken and down to business and a little bit more energy out of Babich. What's your takeaway from what we heard from both of the coordinators?
Yeah, Babich is high energy. When I was watching the defensive drills, you know, he was funny today. He said, I don't know what to do with my hands, kind of like, I don't know what to do when I, in terms of going from position to position. You saw him going from D-line, linebacker, secondary. And if he didn't like the pace of something, he let them know it, and he was vocal about it. And you could see them respond. This wasn't something where they kind of shrug it off. They're listening to this guy. They love this guy. So high energy. In terms of Joe Brady, you know, Joe Brady has earned the respect of this Bills offense in terms of especially the guys that are returning this year. He came in quarterback's coach was the expectation. He becomes the interim OC where that's not even his system. And all of a sudden, you see him scheme up some more layups for Josh Allen. You see the team scoring the ball, protecting the ball better than ever before last season. So now he's implementing his own offense, his own scheme. Allen loves him. You saw how Khalil Shakir took off at the end of the season. Dalton Kincaid. I really think that both guys, despite having different personalities, have the full attention of their rosters.
We are talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. They were really putting an emphasis on this in the first few practices. The special teams kickoff play, Ryan, like your thoughts on this. I don't know what to make of this either. Like, what is this going to be overhyped, or is this going to be changing the way we watch football here? Like, not knowing that we might have a big play being broken at any point.
You know, I'm a junkie for football, so I was watching the XFL a few years ago when they first implemented this, and now it's the UFL. I like it for the player safety perspective, but you do also get more opportunities for returns and big plays. It gives that returner an opportunity to get the ball in his hands, and then everyone else starts moving. And, you know, you start to wonder in your head, who would be the best back there? Is it a wide receiver like a KJ Hamler, or is it a running back that's used to those close spaces and having to move around as soon as he gets that ball a few yards downfield? So I think it's going to definitely help the game in terms of bigger plays in the return game. For the Bills, I'm really interested to see, though, how they work this in terms of who ends up as that kick returner, and how do they do the kickoffs? Do they loft them up higher in the air? There's a lot to it, and it's not just kick the ball to the guy and wait. There's a lot that goes into it from the coaching perspective as well that I'm interested to see how it all unfolds.
Ryan, a lot has been made this offseason and early on in camp about the Bills losing a lot of their leadership, a lot of captains from last year no longer on the team, and people kind of hone their sights squarely on Josh Allen. We know the kind of personality Josh Allen has shown through the course of his career is in the NFL. People will call him a golden retriever. He's a fun guy. He wants to be everybody's buddy. He's going to make jokes. He's got a big personality. Does he have it in him to take that personality and turn it into a leadership role where he is the dude?
Yeah.
He is the guy, and might have to get in somebody's face from time to time. I don't know that that's in him, but what are your thoughts on Josh Allen kind of taking on this larger leadership role with the Buffalo Bills?
I could absolutely see it, and you know, Keon Coleman said something at his presser today about, yeah, he's a fun-loving guy, but when it comes time to get down to business, he gets down to business, and he had the throwing of the reps with the wide receivers and the tight ends and some of the backs before training camp started, and he kind of ran that. No coaches there. He took control of that matter, and I think the first thing in terms of being a better leader is recognizing that you might have to make some changes. And to Allen's credit, he said, you know, the way I've led before, I might have to do some things a little bit differently going forward, and taking ownership of that, saying maybe that being playful all the time isn't the way to go about it. Not that he's always playful, but I think that when he needs to be a leader this year on the sidelines, not necessarily get in someone's face, but let them know if they made a mistake in terms of what they need to do to correct it going forward, he'll do that, whether it's an O lineman, wide receiver, tight end, running back, because they all respect him and they know that he wants this team to win a Lombardi trophy and hoist that here and go on a large parade in Buffalo and Western New York.
Yeah, Ryan, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts here on what we saw at the end of practice today with Kim Pegula coming out and helping to break the huddle. And personally for me, it's mixed emotions. I love the fact that she was walking out there with her husband, but it's also kind of a way sad. I mean, it's kind of your thoughts there on what you saw today.
Yeah, it was a special moment for sure, though, nonetheless, because you know, she's been at practices before, but it's been inside the vehicle. Seeing her out, seeing her walking, seeing her put her hand up for the 1-2-3 Bills there at the end of the practice, that's pretty special because it shows how far she's come since having the cardiac arrest in June of 2022, I believe. So it's great from that perspective to see that she has made such strides and gains. Just like Deion Dawkins said, to them, that's still Mama Bear. They still love her. Obviously, it's not the same, but it's so great to see her out here at practice.
Ryan, we know you've got a lot planned for your weekend in Rochester. Practice resumes on Sunday. And you and Matt have a special coming up here as well in town, a live podcast. So why don't you tell everybody that's listening now about what you guys got coming up with the Shop Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be back this Sunday, but the following Sunday, August 4th, we will be having a live show where Wingnuts is coming out. We did it last year. Outstanding event. We sold over 1,600 wings at Dorado.
Ran out of wings. Yes.
They actually ran to Wegmans to buy some other wings to throw in the fryers, not the kind that they usually order, but Dorado is a fantastic host for us. Great Mexican food, great drink specials. So if you want some Mexican food, come on out. If you want some wing nuts, want to try that here in Rochester, join us August 4th. Event starts at 3. Pod will probably start around 4. It's a great time. Don't miss it, Bills fans.
Yeah, and so the practice, I want to say, will be wrapping up there around 2-ish that day. So 3 till when then, Ryan?
Oof. Well, for me, until probably around 7, because I have to make the drive back to Olean, New York. But, you know, for Bills fans, as long as you want that party to go, make sure you join us. You won't regret it.
Well, yeah, we know you guys are going to step up big, and that'll be a home run, we're sure. Knowing how successful it was last year, you're doing it on a Sunday this year, Park Ave, on a nice summer afternoon. You guys are going to be just fine. So continued success with the podcast. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Always a great time.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com is where you can read his work and, of course, hear him on the Shout Podcast with Matt Parrino. We have Parrino on Tuesday, yes?
Tuesday, yes.
Tuesday, Matt Parrino makes his regular visit with us.
Live with us, yes.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. If you missed our conversation with Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Daquan Jones, we'll have that for you. And we have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4326, 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.